Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, everybody. I want to thank, first of all, Elder Oliver for this platform on Chaos Blog Talk Radio that he's extended to others to have a platform to speak on not only God, but family issues, family life, situations in life to try to help somebody else. And Elder Oliver, I do appreciate you for that. I want to thank God also for giving us life, health, and the situations and of life that we're in. I want to thank God for just giving us the ability to do and to live it each day that he wakes us up. So this is the Bluett Family Conversation on Thursdays at 7 p.m. I think my team of Bluettes have named it the Royal Blues. I don't know if I'm royal, but I do humble myself into saying I am a Bluett. So I want to thank God for that and my family. Before we even get started on our scripture and conversation and topic, I want to ask my wife to pray us in first.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that we will continue to hold fast on our confession of faith, Lord God. We just want to say thank you for being who you are in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you for this word that we and the conversation that we're getting ready to have, Lord God. Let it help those that are listening, Lord God, and even help us as we learn of each other, Lord God, and we're still learning of each other and the things that we've been through and help others to go through, Lord God. And I just thank you for just giving us the strength and even the knowledge and the understanding to even expound on the things that we've been through. And, Lord God, I just want to say thank you, and I praise you in Jesus Christ's name. I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Again, thank you, Elder Oliver, for the platform, Chaos Block Talk Radio. So our scripture I want to read before I give our subject comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen. So our subject, I think my wife gave this subject today. We kind of asked each other starting Thursday morning, Wednesday nights, about what subject we wanted to speak about. And I believe my wife came up with this one. It says, "Can you prepare to getting hurt?" So I think I reworded it and said, "Can you prepare to get hurt? Can you prepare to get hurt when you know hurt is coming? Yes or no? Or are you prepared when you get hurt? That depends on what situation you're probably in and who you're probably dealing with for hurt to come. Knowing that some people that you have to deal with have a set mind to hurt you, or a set mind to not understand you, or just a set mind of their own to just be negative. But can you prepare to get hurt? And I know a lot of us have a problem with that, because the first thing we want to do is, you know, retaliate, which is not always the best thing to do right off. So I want to open the floor to my wife, since God gave her the subject, and we'll see where it leads us from there.
Okay, well, when I came up with this topic, I was really thinking about death, bad relationships, abandonment, even church hurt. So it's different levels of hurt, but can you prepare for it? No, but you can't prepare for it, but you can make it easier by treating everybody in any situation, death, relationships, abandonment, or church hurt. These are all different kind of hurts that I came up with. But I can say you can make it easier for the hurt not to penetrate as long or as hard or as everybody right. We'll talk about death first. Our family experienced a few deaths over the years, but the last one was a grandson that wasn't expected at all. And my mom asked me maybe about 6 or 7 months ago, when are you going to grieve? And I couldn't answer that question because I may not ever grieve the way everybody else grieved, because I raised him and I did what I was supposed to do by him. We did everything. I mean, I treated him right. And a lot of times, when we don't treat people right, it affects us differently. You know, we take it harder. We want to jump in the casket and, you know, fall out at the funeral. If you could celebrate a person while they're alive and always think of today as your last day being here. And I have fond memories of, I was teaching my grandson discipline by hot tea. We made a cup of hot tea, and I told him, you can make it as sweet as you want to make it. You know, you can put whatever you want to put in there, but at the end of the day, you're still going to have to wait until it cools off. So I was teaching him patience and, you know, not really discipline. I was teaching him patience, I should say. I was teaching him patience by a cup of tea, just teaching him, you know, you can sugar it up or whatever, make it sweet as you want, but you still have to wait for it to cool off. Memories and stuff like that really helps me, you know, with death. Just always, you know, being a bigger person, and I've always been the type of person to act why somebody don't like me. I always try to not figure out, but ask the person, I mean, what is it? Did I do something to you? Because a lot of times, it don't even have to be that they've done something to you. They just don't like you. And my mother taught me when I was younger, Ricky, everybody's not going to like you. I mean, it's okay, but I don't think it's okay, not for me, because I've always, you know, want everybody to be not, you don't have to like somebody to be in their face all the time, but just not do anything to somebody to make them not like you. And that's where I've always been. I didn't want to do anything to offend somebody, to not, you know, where I've always been in my life, not to offend somebody for them not to like me. Like my mother said, if people don't like you, they just don't like you. They don't have to have a reason. And bad relationships. We've been hurt with bad relationships too. It was reminding me of Uncle Rick. I guess they can talk about their uncle passing as well. But even bad relationships. I wouldn't say that me and my husband had a bad relationship, but we had a a time in our marriage, and I'm not even going to talk about the cheating part. I'm just talking about us, you know, being, you know, human beings. You know, he always told him if he, if we ever divorced, it would be because of these kids. Well, ours. They're his when they're bad, but when they're good, they're mine. But anyway, and I've always told him that if we ever get a divorce, it'll be because of the kids. Because the kids always came in between us. If I told them to go clean their room, they wouldn't do it on purpose, you know, knowing that the dad was going to come up there and say, you know, you don't have to. He always did the opposite of what I said. So when I say bad relationship, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about nothing else but that. That was the only thing that I was going to really, you know, divorce him for, because he always, it always pulled us apart because of that. And abandonment. A parent may have abandoned you, you know, or any kind of abandonment could be hurt. Find out why, you know, if you can. To make the hurt, you can subside a lot of the hurt if we just take the time out to find out, you know, and ask questions. And if a person show you who they are in the relationship, believe who they are. Don't try to change them, you know, and it's up to you to want to further that relationship or not, you know, because you're going to be hurt in this life. What is hurt? What is, you know, you just have to prepare for it, whatever it is, anything that causes pain. Some pain is greater than others. Some, you know, some are bearable, and some of them you really think you can't get over it because it hurts so bad because you put so much in, you know, whatever it was, or the person or the people or whatever. And it feels like you won't get over it, but if we just put Christ first and put him in the center of everything that we do, believe me, this word, everything is in this word. Everything is in the Bible. And if we just believe everything that's in the Bible that tells us, you know, no matter what, or when we find ourselves, we can trust God with all our heart. Lean not to our understanding. We don't understand right now, you know, what's going on. But believe me, if we just stay rooted and grounded in his word, you know, and if you leery about, you know, thing or whatever, pray about it and God will reveal it. God will reveal it and God will show you. So many times we ignore the warning signs. The warning signs, he give us signs in the beginning. But no, we think the person's going to change or the circumstance is going to change or this is going to change or whatever you're waiting on to change is going to, we're waiting on it. And I share a story with my mother-in-law before she passed. She's always told me, my husband never dated me. And she told me, Ricky, if you want to be happy, leave him alone. If you don't want to go nowhere, do nothing, leave him alone, because he's going to make sure that you know that he don't want to go if you make him go. And I've always took that to heart. You know, he's always sent me and the kids on vacations, you know, in the beginning, well, not even maybe the last 10 years he's probably been on vacation out of a whole almost 40 years. But I just thank God, 34 years. But I just thank God, you know, that I didn't try to make him do anything. And it's a lot of times we try to make people who we want them to be. But if, and I tell my daughters and I tell anybody in marriage or in a relationship, if you are not willing to live with that person with what you're going through now, and because more than likely they're not going to change. They're not going to change. So are you willing to live with him belching out loud? If you throwing his clothes on the floor, if you're willing to keep picking his clothes up or him burping out loud or whatever it might be, for the rest of your life, if this is what you, if this is the one or two things that you, that his flaws or her flaws, are you willing to live with that? So don't to get hurt when this person, and you ready to leave him because he won't stop burping or pick up his clothes. You setting yourself up to get hurt. So how, can you prepare? Yes, you can prepare by keeping your eyes, listen for the warning signs, okay? Don't think you can change people or circumstances. stay focused on whatever you're staying focused on, but just don't prepare yourself by taking heed to the warning signs, because they're there, and a lot of times we overlook them. So yeah.
All right.
I wanted to kind of like chime in on like where you said, talk about death a little bit. And I kind of do want to bring in Uncle Rick, just because I was watching an interview with Will Smith this morning, and he was talking about how like his dad, they had told him that his dad had like 6 months to live. I mean, 6 weeks. So just saying, like, in the way of, like, you can kind of see, you can never, I don't feel like you can ever fully prepare to be separated from someone forever, but I feel like, and once you see certain things, like, you can just kind of, like, how you said, Mommy, to, like, make the pain can kind of, like, subside, like, you can kind of, like, ease the pain a little bit. I'm talking about in, like, things, like, I don't feel like you can ever prepare fully. Ever. I'm sorry. Hurt always hits harder than what you expected. Even if it's something you see coming, or you can kind of like gauge that, okay, this may be a possibility, it always hurts worse. Even if the hurt is at from a 1 to 10, even if it's at a 2, it still hurts. So I don't feel like you can really prepare to know where to hurt. But then I know that sometimes you feel like something is going to feel like this, and then you come to find out you come across it and it didn't even hurt as bad. I guess that's another situation. But, like, my answer is no, because even in relationships where, like you said, you can see how a person is, you can see that, you know, just see little signs of even infidelity. Like, you can see little things, and then it finally hits you, and, like, that hurt really comes. I'm sorry. I don't feel like you can ever fully prepare yourself to feel hurt. I don't. And that's my answer. I don't think you can.
I got something to say. I wrote something down, but, like, y'all making me, Vanessa, your comment making me kind of think about it again. But what I said originally, I said, yes, in some type of way, you can be prepared. I said, by staying prayed up. Simple things like praying that God protects your mind, your heart, and your soul, by praying that God guides your thoughts and emotions every day. These are some of the few things I pray for before I even step foot out of the bed, so I know that whatever I may walk into today, that my spirit is protected. And it's all a mindset, really.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Tuff.
Yeah, that's good. Say a little bit about it. I feel like you can prepare for what was the exact word we were saying? For hurt, to be hurt. Yeah, I feel like you can prepare for that. Just anything in general. I think about the worst, and I also think about what can happen as far as the best, so that way, if it does work, it works. And if it doesn't work, I don't already came to a conclusion that it was a chance that it wouldn't work. And that's with the simple things, are just like simple choices. But with like death, I feel like, me personally, I can prepare for that also, because I feel like once you walk your purpose in life and once you know why you're here every day, I feel like if that happens to somebody else around you, then I feel like whenever that does happen, whenever death does happen, I feel like you're able to, like, think past it, like, as far as, like, as far as hurt. Because within yourself, you believe, like, past death. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not afraid of it. Like, you're not showing any signs of, I'm not ready or that, and you have it locked in and you're like that with yourself. I think that even when death happens to the closest ones around you, I feel like, yeah, you're going to have your time where you have to grieve, but I don't think that it'll be a sign of like any type of hurt for myself personally. So.
Okay. Wait, I kind of wanted to change a little bit. Wait, cause y'all, Ashton and Tuffy kind of anything. what I thought of was, like, preparation doesn't necessarily mean it won't hurt. Like, you can prepare, but that doesn't mean it just won't hurt at all. So I feel like, yes, you can prepare to be hurt. That preparation doesn't equal you not being hurt. It just equals you being able to get through it a little fast, not faster, just get through it, period. Like, you'll, it's guaranteed that you will get through it. That's what I feel like. So it's, yeah. So I do feel like you can't prepare. Y'all kind of changed my mind.
All great comments, all great testimony. I do want to change the subject just a little bit. You guys are talking about, and I want to change it to: are you prepared when hurt comes? Are you prepared for the hurt, regardless of the situation, death, life, or whatever, when it comes? Are you prepared? Do you have a foundation you're already standing on that no matter what comes your way, you're still good? But I want to go back to – go ahead, Chuck.
No, I'll chime in on that. Yes, I'm prepared, but that come from a place of – a mental test of if you're prepared, like say, like it was a life or death situation that has happened in the past, and you knew for a fact that it was a chance that it was a death situation, and you know what I mean, like you just felt like you just was ready, not saying ready to go, but just like ready for whatever happens. So,
can you repeat what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat what you said? I think you said, are you prepared when hurt comes? That was a new topic. I should ask, what was it again?
So, are you prepared for hurt? Are you on a stable foundation that when thing, no matter what comes in your life, are you prepared for it? A lot of stuff shouldn't take us by surprise.
Because Jesus is my foundation.
Yep. So it's not like you can't mourn or whatnot. Matter of fact, let me read this right here, since we're there right now. And it comes out of 1 Peter chapter 4. Start at verse 12, where it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." So if we got a foundation in Jesus Christ, whatever comes our way, we ought to be prepared to stand firm on the word of God, on the love that he provides for us, the love we give him in return. No matter what comes our way, we still firm. We deal with it. We can mourn about it. We can deal with the situation, but it shouldn't change who we are. Right? So I want to go back to, my wife had said a lot in the beginning, and you guys kind of commented on your Uncle Rick, my brother, and subject was at that time being, are you prepared for hurt? So when I found out my brother was in a situation that he was in, I went to visit him. That day I called 911. And he was in a bad situation. And correct me if I'm wrong, team, but I think his whole ordeal in the hospital lasted 6 months. 6 or 7 months from day one when I had him, 911 come get him. And I was there with him every day, the entire time. Went home late at night, came back very early in the morning, every day. So my initial shock was the situation and going through all that with him in the last month or so of his life. I was being prepared, and I was also thinking about God. I was thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about, how could you just let this happen? This is my younger brother, 2 years younger than me. Seeing what he was going through, seeing what the doctor was saying and what they said they couldn't, and I told him that they could. And it lasted about 7 months because I told him that they could. So it got to the final stage of Mr. Blewett, we don't think we can do anything more. They gave me brochures for, what do you call that, the
hospice.
We didn't get that far, but my brother already believed in Jesus Christ. He gave his life to Jesus Christ when we were younger, and he tried to get me to give my life, but I wouldn't at that time. Anyway, and I asked Rick, I said, Rick, man, you know what's going on? He said, yeah, man, I know. It ain't going to be too much longer, Vic. That's what he told me. I said, yeah. You want to rededicate your life to Christ? He said, yes, sir. We did that. Those 7 months prepared me for that time, though, to not go, lose it, to not go crazy, to not blame anybody. And when he gave his life to Christ that particular evening, it was the next day that he passed. And I had to comfort his children, his wife. So, was I prepared for hurt? Was I prepared for that situation? That, yes, because of what me and him went through the last 7 months of his life. Yes, but how are you prepared when things suddenly happen, is my question, when I saw this topic. How are you prepared that you're having a great day, you get a phone call, and the ceiling drops? What are you standing on to take care of that situation that could hurt you, but you prevent it from hurting you, even though it was meant for evil, but God made it good? That's my question now. And I'm not necessarily talking about death. Just talking about everyday situations. You know, and I'm sure my oldest son... Go ahead, Nani.
That's why I feel like I'm 50-50, because it's like, I think that's why I just changed my answer back and forth, because I'm sorry, like, it's some hurt that you just can't, like, if it's sudden, like you said, we're not just talking about death, but Sean's death, that was very sudden. I was not prepared for that. It took a little minute to get back right. Like, it did, or even, like, a breakup. Man, what? That's in something sudden to where you didn't see coming. It takes a minute to get your head right. Like, it does. Like, I'm sorry. I'm 50-50. Like, things that you see coming, of course, you can fully prepare. But, like, of course, because Jesus is my foundation, I have the hope that I'm going to get through it. I won't stop in the middle of my storm. No. Because that is my foundation, and I know that everything is working together for my good. I know that God had my life planned out before I was even created. So I know that everything's going to work out. I know that. But am I prepared for that hurt? I guess my foundation prepares me, yes. Like, I don't know, y'all. That sudden stuff, it just hits you. And it takes me a minute. I'm emotional. It takes me a minute to get back right. It does. It does.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because, like, say you just go through a breakup, right? Okay, like, you're going to be boo-hoo and crying yourself to sleep. But at the same time, after I cry myself to sleep, I'm going to pray myself to sleep. You know what I'm saying? So it all goes back to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm a cry, I'm boo-hoo, but, I mean, listen to some sad music, and then right after, you know, praise God. Praise music. You know what I'm saying? So I understand, Vanessa.
What I wanted to weigh in on all of a sudden stuff, I feel like the only way to be prepared for something all of a sudden is to trust your instincts when you feel them, and call the people that you do love whenever you feel like they are on your mind, or it's that moment that you need to. So, you know, that's how I feel like if something was to suddenly happen, like on a tragedy side, then I feel like I'll think about the last time I talked to them, and I know it'll be recent. So I try to keep in touch with, you know, a lot of people that I have relations with that I would care about, if vice versa, either my way or their way. So, and then with breakups, I kind of already, like, going to what I was talking to when I first started, was I kind of already think in my head, like, this, it's a possibility that this won't work, which is basically saying a good example is like when you're dreaming and you know you're dreaming and it turns bad, you know it's not real. One of those type of things. Like basically saying that when you're dating or whatever, that they're replaceable. So, you know, and so are you. That's how I think about it. Yeah.
Okay, I wanna read a comment that was just texted to me. And it says, great topic for tonight. Build up your faith now. Build up your relationship with God now. Learn to trust him now. You may still break down, but you will learn, but you will lean on God for your strength. Sometimes things may not seem that you can make it, but you can. Great comment. So one other thing that y'all mentioned is about Sean, my grandson Sean. So when Sean passed, we were in Florida on vacation. And I had invited, he was supposed to come, his brother and his sister. My three grandkids were supposed to come. I don't know the particulars of why they didn't come, but they stayed here with their mom. And I think it was 2 days before we got ready to come back that we got the phone call of what happened. That was sudden. The whole house down in Florida went crazy. The whole atmosphere changed. It messed me up more than y'all know. But I wanted to show strength to y'all also. It's even my brother-in-law was down there with his Ricky's brother, Scotty, was down there with his family. And it changed the atmosphere, but it was sudden. So are you ever prepared for hurt? And just like our text message said, you know, we got to build our faith in Jesus Christ that no matter what the situation is that comes upon us, we have a foundation, we have a rock to stand on. And again, it's all right to hurt, it's all right to mourn, it's all right to let it out, it's all right to hold it in until you get it out. But to instantly feel nothing, something's wrong with that person. For a person to show remorse, standing, some type of feelings, that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. So I just wanted to reiterate on that suddenness of things happening.
I wanted to piggyback on that. Going back to my nephew Sean with him passing, I was the last one out to go down to Florida, and I seen him at the building in my last moment of seeing him. I kind of felt like it was my last time seeing him. And then when we got down to Florida, we got the news. I was more so prepared for the hurt, but what broke me down at that moment, to piggyback on what my dad said, was if you don't feel anything, it's kind of off a little bit, or just, you know, just talk to somebody about something and you got to get it out some type of way. But I was prepared for the hurt, but I wasn't prepared for all the plans that I had with me and him to not be there anymore and to just like vanish and stuff like that. So that's the part that really got to me, was all the ideas and things that I had in mind with him. I was piggybacking off of that. So yeah, it could be like, you could be prepared for the hurt, but it could be other things like I just mentioned that might hit you in a different way.
That's good.
I think that's why I'm saying the 50-50 thing. I really do. Because of all the extra, like, you know, I feel like death is one of those, or even breakup, all of the things that can hurt you. I feel like, of course, it's like this is a possibility. Not even a possibility. Death is evidence. We are all going to go through it. But I do think it's the extra stuff that gets you, like plans or even memory, like just certain things that get you going. Like, I don't know. That's why I say it's 50-50. Like, that's why I say I'm emotional. So, like, to say I'm just fully prepared because I have God, like, I'm still human. Like, I'm still a human being. So, like, of course, like I said, we know that God has us. We're in his hand. Like, he's holding us. We're okay. No matter what we go through, we are okay. We're going to be okay. It's guaranteed that we're going to be okay. But what about the human side, like, of us that's just, like, hurting and we have emotions? Like, I don't know. That's why I'm saying 50-50. Or maybe I'll say 75-25. 75% prepared, and then there's a 25% that's like, what just happened? You know?
I feel like you will be prepared for what can happen, but the unprepared part comes from what you're going to do next. I feel like that's the most hurtful, or what seems like hurts, what you're going to do next. Like, that's why people cry out, why, or what do I do now, or how did this happen, because they don't know what they're going to do next.
That makes sense.
Yeah, if you had a plan for something, like, say, if me and you had a plan for something happened to me and then something happened to me, it'll be different on how you feel about what happened with me. Because you had, mm-hmm. you know what's going to happen next.
That makes sense. I think Mommy was trying to say something. Go, Mommy.
No, I was just going to say, that's why we have to learn God's word. Get it in your heart. Get his word, because that's what I lean on. I lean on him and depend on him to give me the strength that I need. Because y'all know, it's so much stuff that happened in our family these last years. My brother shooting his wife, my nephew killing his wife and shooting himself in the head. My mom was in a coma. Pastor went to prison. You know, Oscar getting pregnant. And it's just on and on and on. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But if I didn't have Christ in my life, I mean, where would we be? Where would we be? That's why you have to get in this. If you don't do nothing else, learn the promises. Learn the promises of God to know what he say about you and what he expects from us. And the only really requirement that he has from us is to love. That's the only really requirement, love. One word. If you don't get nothing else tonight, just get the love, the agape love, the love that you don't need nothing back from nobody when you do something. You're giving love because that's who I am. I'm love. And that's what we need to be in our lives. So we won't, when things do happen, you can respond in love. Because the thing, even with my mom, I mean, the hell that we went through with that, with my dad dying while she was in ICU, you know? And then we couldn't even bury him. Okay, I'm not even going to get into all of that, but it was hell just trying to do that. Because a person was fighting against me to bury my own dad. But I had to get over it. I had to remember who I was, who I am, the God that lives in me. I still had to show love. What would my mother do? She was in a coma for 2 years. And I was over her estate. And I had to think, what would my mom do? What would she want me to do? All these things I had to do for her. And we have to always put Christ first in our lives. What would Jesus do? Seriously. So do I have fleshly moments? Yes, I had one a few months ago. You know, but when we get in those fleshly moments, we have to remember, you know, is it worth it? No, it's not. Continue to love. Hurt is going. Things are going to happen. Don't deal with your issues before they deal with you. If you know your whole family got a hot temper, you know, call those things out. Start binding those things. Cut them off at the root. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I know this. My whole family has this issue, but we cut it off right here. It stops with, they don't even stop with me. It's going to stop, period. Whatever your family issues are, call them out. Start binding them. What does bind mean? Call them out and let them know that situation don't have authority over you and your family's life anymore.
Amen.
Okay, could chime into that real quick. When we're talking about hurt and you say, yes, we're going to have fleshly moments, but are they worth it? My emotions are worth it. When we're talking about feeling emotions after something crazy happens, like, yes, it's worth it. Like, I have to feel everything I need to feel for me to get over stuff. I have to. Like, if I don't sit there and boo-hoo and I try to suppress feelings with this, like, I can't. I'm going to be crying 3 months later because I didn't get it out when I needed to. So, yes, like, my emotions be worth it, and it's needed. I have to sit there and let everything out. I don't care. I do.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not calling that a fleshly moment. I was calling a fleshly moment when I wanted with that receipt.
I know. When you were talking about Quick Trip, I know. I was saying in general, like, as far as, like, if you're, something happens and then your reaction back, I was just specifically talking about, like, is it worth it of you feeling all those emotions that you know this is, you know, you don't have to, and everything's going to be okay, God got you. Of course, I would love to just automatically be okay because I know God has me, but that's why I said, like, I'm human at the same time. So, like, I know God has me, but I think it's maybe just my person, like who I am, maybe, that I'm emotional, or I can be when I'm emotional.
But
I'm emotional.
You know that you're going to be all right. There's nothing wrong with having that moment, but you know that you're going to be all right. So, yeah, it's okay. But you know, as soon as I get over this,
I think that's why Asha made the comment of you can boohoo and you can cry, but then pray yourself to sleep. Like, if you trying to cry yourself to sleep, end it with a prayer, then pray yourself to sleep. Like, have that balance of you're human, you're going to get your emotions out, but at the same time, I know my God has me, I know my God is able, I know I'm going to get through this situation. Yeah.
How do you expect to heal from your hurt if you don't, you know,
deal
with emotions?
Yeah. And feel it.
Like, deal with your problems before they deal with you.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying, and that's the point I'm making, is that that's why I said I cry when it happens, I get all my emotions out, or like you said, it's going to deal with you later. If you don't feel what you need to feel, if you don't deal with what you need to deal with, later on, it's coming back. It's not just gone. Like, it's going to come back. So, yeah, I agree with that. Deal with your feelings or deal with your problems before they deal with you. Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people blow up. Okay, because they don't deal with the issue. Okay, they don't deal with their issues, and then they blow up. You know, I have one that's laying in the bed, blown up, and then I have one in prison because they didn't deal with the issues. We have to deal with the real issues. We have to, or they will deal with you. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times, what the issue is, I mean, okay, anyway.
Amen. Y'all bringing up some other shows we can go to. Oh, but I do want to, so one of our commenters on the show, I asked if I could mention their name, and I want to do that at this time because it made a lot of sense. And what we were talking about, and I'm going to read that, what was text to the show, and it's from Evangelist Dove, Lady Dove, good dear friend of ours. I want to read it again. Build up your faith now. Build up your relationship with God now. Learn to trust him now. You may still break down, but you will lean on God for your strength. Sometimes things may not seem you can make it, but you can. And that's an awesome and true statement, that if we would just trust God and build our relationship with him as we mature, start standing on more things. But, Nani, you mentioned your emotions, and I'm very, very aware of your emotions, and it get on my nerves sometimes. But as you get older, sweet, and God allows you to live, you and Archer and Tuffy, all my kids, as God allows you to live each day and mature, don't ever suppress your emotions. I have seen people, even in myself, my wife or whatever, that the older you get, you suppress things, and they do burst out at a certain time. Always exercise your emotions to the extent of maturity. Always exercise how you feel to the extent of maturity. What I mean is contain it, control it, but exercise it and never stop exercising your emotions. That's who you are. That's what God has put in you to feel and see and do and to realize and know. The intuition that Tuffy had when he first, the last time he saw Sean, that was good. He was prepared in a way that he said. But we can't be prepared for every moment, but we can have a foundation against it. So the foundation of God, the faith in God, and building our faith suffices us to withstand the storm. And I want to read this other scripture since we're talking about standing on faith and the things that do come in our lives. And it's from Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse 28. Romans 8 and 28. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many, many brothers." So whatever life throws us, whatever situations we find ourselves in, we have to have a sure-footed foundation in God. Because life without God is terrible. I've been there. I promise you, it's terrible because you don't know. And when situations happen in your life, you have no foundation to stand on against that. And a lot of it is the wiles of the devil that he may throw darts at you to corrupt you, to interrupt your positivity and your walk each day. So we have to have a sure foundation in God. And we have instilled the church and God in y'all since the day y'all was born. So stay sure-footed against when hurt comes, unpredicted hurt, unintentional hurt, even in your personal relationships with the people you deal with in your lives. When you see that person coming and you know they mean no good and you can see the hurt coming, believe God has already shown you what's coming. So prepare your mind to deal with it positively. You know, so yeah, a great conversation tonight. Great conversation tonight. We still got a little bit more time, so y'all still have the floor if you have anything else you want to say. And thank you, Lady Dove, Evangelist Dove, for the comment. I appreciate it.
I think I'm getting to the point where, because I know I'm so emotional, I'm just starting to cut stuff at the door. When I see where this is going, before it even get any deeper, let's just cut this.
Wait. Say that again, Lana.
I said I'm getting to the point because I know myself and I'm so emotional. When I see stuff from the door, I'm cutting it. I don't have time to play with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know myself, and I know what I have to trust the signs that you said, like the warning signs like Mommy talked about, the warning signs, and I'm going to trust them, and I don't have to deal with this. So I'm just getting to the point where I'm just like, you know what? I don't have time to waste. You got to go before you even get a chance.
Absolutely. You just going to say something tough?
I was going to say, it feel like when somebody's child, not your child, and you can get that child back. That's how I feel about situations. Like, I just give them back to where it came from. going back to your mama with the headache.
Wait. Hold on. So my daddy told me one time when I was little, he said, "I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out." What are you talking about, Tuff?
I'm basically saying, like, when somebody come your way, and what Vanessa was saying, like, you cut it short from the start. It's basically like when you watch, or somebody kid is in your area and the mama outside, you go to a cookout, like going back to your mama, like you could have this child back. That's how I feel with people when it comes to, you don't really see red flags in the beginning. It's just basically like going back to where you came from.
Okay.
I'm not going to deal with them.
Okay, I got you. I thought you
were talking about something else. That's why I said what I said.
No. Right. Yeah, I got to be clear. We do have listeners, so I have to be clear about it.
And I agree. I agree.
Okay. Well, I would like to reiterate. We don't have to walk around with our guards up all the time. But just be aware of signs in the beginning, and it'll save everybody a whole lot of hassle if we just look for the warning. No, you don't have to look for the warning signs. The signs gonna be they're there. We don't have to look for them. People are showing us who they are. Believe who they are. Believe who they're showing you. If the person's showing you they're a liar, stop making excuses. Well, girl, that's just, you know he's just playing. No, he's playing lying. He's lying. He's for real. That's who he, if the person is showing you who they are, believe who they are. Accept them. I'm not saying you don't have to befriend them or just kick them to the curb, but just expect everything that come out their mouth is going to be a lie. Just know that. You can still deal with them, but just know that they're getting ready to lie. Know that you can't believe what they say. I won't say everything that they say is a lie, but you can't believe what they say. Because one thing about a liar, they forget the lie that they told. And they let them talk long enough, the bone gonna fall out their mouth. And you're going to be like, you know what? I was just getting ready to trust you again. Believe who they are. It'll save you a whole lot of heartache. Yeah. So
I can piggyback on even, I've had a situation and daddy, well, really everybody on this call know, I guess, but my daddy had to tell me that I had it good because I had a person to tell me how they are, like straight up tell me, communication, tell me how they are, and I still decided to deal with it. That's even worse is when somebody can, you're watching for signs and the signs match up with what they say, then run. Like, don't even walk away. Don't, oh, just run.
So you try to, what is this, the when you try to convert to or try to be more, you know, you start converting.
No, that was in the beginning. No, what my response back to that was being patient. I am a person that knows that we all are growing, especially at this age. When 20, like I'm 21, I'll be 22. So like I am a person that's realistic, and I saw it as, okay, it's okay because he's just growing. We're just growing, but it's like, y'all can still grow separate. Like, you don't have to deal with that in your initial, like, your life right here, right now. You know, let that person deal with what they need to deal with. Because their actions are hurting you, the things that's coming out their mouth are the things that are hurting you. You don't have to deal with that. It'll be different if they're saying, like, oh, I'm trying to become more business. You know what I'm saying? Something that really don't have nothing to do with you directly. But the stuff that's coming out their mouth is something that hurts you directly. You don't have to deal with that is what I'm saying. So my response is me trying to be patient, but it's like, girl, at what expense? Your happiness? At what expense? Your self-worth? At what expense are you trading that patience for?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So what did you trade it for?
That's a whole nother topic. Let's just stay on topic.
So my point exactly. If the person is showing you who they are, believe who they are. Stop trying to change people. Stop praying and wishing and hoping that they change. And 20 years have passed by, and you still waiting and being patient. How much patience you got?
Amen. So I was in my studying this morning. I think I was reading about Peter asked Jesus. So this is just verbatim, not per word. How often should I forgive my brother? You know, I think he said 70 times seven, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, forgive every time a situation happens. I think Peter said seven times, and Jesus said 70 times seven, which is forever. A metaphorical number that's forever. But anyway, we have to, when hurt suddenly comes and it's from a person, I'm not talking about death, I'm just talking about everyday life, and you see it coming even knowingly or unknowingly, we have to forgive a person. Because we're first forgiven, you know, that we have been given, put in a position that we can confess our faults, confess our sins, and believe in the name of Jesus Christ that God would throw all of our sins into the sea of forgiveness, debt paid. The mercy that he granted us, we have to share that with others also. So we have to be careful on our temper. When certain hurt comes, we have to be careful how we react. When certain hurt comes, we have to be careful how we gesture, body movements, everything. When certain hurt comes, we have to be mindful of the position we were in when we were sinning and doing things unlike of God, but God at that instant gave us a way out with his mercy. So we have to be careful. If we're not there yet, we need to practice being there so that the older you get, the better you can just do it unconditionally without thinking to have to do it. But always give the next person the benefit of the doubt, because God gave us the benefit of doubt. And he knew in our hearts, he knew our history. He knew what we had done. He knew what we was going to do. And he still presented us with the Savior. That at the end of times, that if you continue to believe in Jesus Christ, you could be with God and his son eternally, forever. So be mindful tonight going forward of this situation that's going to pop up in your life about when you hurt and how you react to it. So if it's physical, defend yourself. If it's from somebody's mouth, defend your mind. So.
And your heart.
In your heart. So great, great conversation from my wife, my kids. I want to thank everybody.
I like that last comment. That last comment was good. If it's from their mouth, protect your mind and your heart. I just really like that. Okay, go ahead, keep going.
Renata, you're getting emotional again.
Okay, leave me alone.
Before you close, you said we have to forgive them, but we don't have to put ourselves in the position to be hurt again.
Well, you can never put yourself in a position to not get hurt. You can't.
From
because
the same person, no, what when I say this, from the same person and the same thing, if it's the same thing over and over, you can put yourself in the position if the person is still doing the same thing that they were doing 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago. Just believe who they are and don't allow yourself to get hurt. Same situation and the same person over and over doing the same thing.
I got you. So it was good that I mentioned that scripture. I don't know where it – I forgot where it was. I think it was in Matthew. When Peter asked Jesus, should he forgive seven times? And Jesus answered and said 70 times seven, meaning forever, always forgive. So, like I say, you know, we run into situations that are that puts us in a mindful setting that we've been through that before. As long as you keep going through, you had to learn the lesson. And I'm firm on that. Keep going through a certain situation with a certain person. There's a lesson learned that has not been learned. There's a lesson being taught that has not been learned. And generally, and I've learned this, I don't run into the same situations with people that I had previously with them. I try to sell it right then and there so we understand each other. And if you come back to me with it, we got a situation. See? So you have to be mindful of the situations we go through in life that repeat themselves because the lesson wasn't learned. And I'm not talking about just to you, my sweetie, my wife. I'm talking about to everybody.
No, because you know I cut people off. I ain't going to keep going through the same
I know
thing.
You will, but when you cut off, it doesn't fix it. You just cut off until the next time it arises.
But I have peace.
So we have to be confident in who we are, whose we are, and we can use the word of God to complete a situation, as Jesus did when he was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. See, he used the word against the devil, and the devil had to flee. So we can use scripture, we can use the word of God to cure situations. But how can we do that? It's by studying the word of God. That when situations arise, the Holy Ghost will bring that word out of us. So we have to get the word in us first by studying it first. So I don't want to go too deep in all that. Anybody else got anything else before we close? And I appreciate it. It was a great conversation tonight. It really was.
I just wanted to say for all the listeners, call that person, if it's a family member or if it's not, that you've been not wanting to call, but they've been on your mind, just to see how that person is doing. That's all I have to say.
Amen.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And our situation in our life today has made it easy. All you got to do is pick up the phone instead of driving 2,000 miles or 100 miles or whatever. Just pick up the phone. So anybody else probably close out?
Yeah, real quick. And if you hurt somebody, call them and apologize. Just call them and apologize. An apology will go a long way. A long way.
You have been listening to what my family called the Royal Blues. I just called it the Bluette family. I ain't royal at all. At least I ain't received my crown yet until I get to heaven. But, excuse me. I want to thank my family for the conversation tonight. I learned something, and I'm sure I'm hope everybody else did learn something that's listening. I want to thank Elder Oliver for this platform on Chaos Block Talk Radio. It's a great platform. Support him. Go to his website, Chaos Block Talk. I think it's chaosblogtalk.com. Look at the things that he's doing, the sponsorship that he has. Support him. You can support him by donations. You can support him with a pat on the back. Just a good word to keep him encouraged. But thank you, Elder Oliver. And Lady K for the platform that you guys provide. Thank you for listening tonight. I hope you got something out of it that would help you in your walk. I have a dysfunctional family that we're trying to get centralized and put back together each day that God gives us to live. So we have been through a lot. We've had situations that was not Christ-like that happened. But our foundation was in Christ when it happened, and we're still here today, and I thank God for it. I thank my kids for being truthful and honest and open. Just let you see how we are, because we're just a normal family like anybody else. And the subject of the Royal Blues, I really don't like. But if that's what they want to call themselves, to lift themselves, that's fine. But I know it's my family, the Bluette family. If I had not asked my wife to marry me, it wouldn't be nothing. But when I did, oh, my God, look at the spread. Now, thank you, sweetie. I want to turn it over to my middle daughter, Vanessa, who I call my nanny, to pray us out. And we will say goodbye. And thank you again.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for today. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for every person listening tonight. Thank you, God, for another great episode. Thank you, God, for flowing through this episode. And I pray that somebody, everybody received at least one thing they can take for the rest of their life. I pray that we all continue to set examples on love and how to be love, how to represent love for ourselves and for the people around us. I pray for you to pour into the relationships that we all have. Everybody listening, I pray that you pour into our relationships, pour more love, genuine love, agape love into our lives, God. I pray that we all continue and strive to be more like you and to just walk this earth creating examples for how, you know, everybody should be by you just running through us. Thank you, God, in advance for everything that's going to transpire in our lives, God. I thank you, God, for success, prosperity, great things that are to come. And I pray that we all have a great night, a great life. And, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good night.